would you call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video action last Friday and it had you talking at the socialist union.
Yes.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade.
That was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly.
If you are caught in a lie or caught intentionally misleading the New Zealand public, how would you expect to be held to account?
Well, I actually believe that it is possible to exist in politics without lying.
We drum in that messaging around the dangers of COVID pretty diligently for a full 2-week period of sustained propaganda.
Right, okay. And what do you think about vaccine passports? That seems to be hot on the list in New Zealand at the moment.
Well, I don't got mine yet.
No, are you going to get one?
Well, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Would it be rude to ask you whether you got the vaccines or not?
Yes, it would be rude.
It is rude, don't you? I agree. Absolutely. I think it's nobody's business but your own.
But I was just about to tell you it's not your fucking business.
Absolutely, but they're going to make it our business.
Oh, of course they are.
And sorry, they're going to make it their business. They're going to make business their business.
Who's they?
And so, how do you feel about that? So you'll have to be vaccinated if you want to be able to go and shop and buy things.
Then I'll have to steal, just like what all the other people are doing.
Well, then they'll lock you up.
No, they won't.
They will if they catch you.
I'll move to California and make sure I steal under $950 worth of stuff and I'll be good to go.
Are you kidding? You can do that in California?
I kid you not.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is that where you're from? Or no, you said you'll move to California. Well, I don't know. Is it worth it?
Huh?
Wouldn't Texas be better?
What?
Texas, wouldn't that be better?
Texas?
Are you having trouble hearing me?
I'm having trouble understanding you. You're an English man that seems to be butchering the language of English.
Really? I've never heard anyone say that to me. Most people can understand me. They say that the people
what's funny
that are
about the British accent is you guys, no matter how tough you are or how cool you are, you always kind of sound like sissies with that accent. I don't know. James Bond. How can anybody really take James Bond seriously as a tough guy?
Seriously.
When he talks like, you know, the fifth member of the Beatles.
I sort of agree. I can understand you there. They sound really too posh, eh, to be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. On that one.
No.
So are you in New York or something?
My opinion of this whole vaccine passports and stuff like that is a total violation of my, and obviously being in the U.S., it's a total violation of our constitutional rights, and I am way against it.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you on that. And so what are you doing to resist it? And what do you think that we should do?
Kind of a loaded question.
What will you do?
What will I do? I won't take the vaccine until it's FDA approved.
Yeah. Do you think they might approve it, even though it's not? I mean, they've approved stuff before. Look at thalidomide.
Well, that's a scary kind of thing because you just had two top members of the FDA resign because of pressure from the government. So now do you know, can you even really trust the FDA?
No, they'll be getting the people that they want in.
Yeah.
And
hey, listen, dude, I got to go. I have to call.
Yeah, okay, mate. Yeah, good to talk to you.
You too.
Thanks, Doss.
Peace out, my Englishman. You too.
Okay. See you, buddy. So Doss, he made a good point. Good on him. And he's going to resist. But now he's got to go. So, engagement. So we had Doss. He was good. Jill, you came on there for a second. Come on, come and talk to me now. Are you still with us? Yeah, you're still there.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, Jill?
How are you?
I'm really good. Whereabouts are you calling from?
I am in Boise, Idaho.
Boise, Idaho. All right.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for doing this little experiment with us. It's only you and I, and John McClone's trying to find his way in. And Lisa, she doesn't seem to be able to operate hers. So that's funny. Did you by any chance hear my friend Lisa's call to a talkback show yesterday late? Did you hear that?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. So if you have a look on the Podbean there, you'll see there's a podcast that we did where we actually had the recording of the interview, and then he cut her off. It wasn't an interview, it was just a talk back, and then he cut her off, and so she wasn't able to give her opinion. So this is what's happening in our country, and I suppose it's happening with you as well, that people aren't allowing the media and the talk back, they're not allowing us to have our say and say, hey, not everyone wants to be vaccinated. There's a lot of us, and we're not conspiracy theorists. We're not tinfoil hat wearers. We just don't want to take an experimental biological agent until it's approved.
I don't know where I'm at as far as my opinion or anything other than my husband died in November.
It's kind of up on the air.
And they did, I mean, he, on his death certificate, it does say COVID/heart failure. For a couple of months he was in the hospital, and I got to see a lot of things happen, because it ended up being, they're so shorthanded in the hospitals, that I ended up pretty much being my husband's CNA, because if I wouldn't have been there every day, he would not have gotten the help, just to press the simple button for a nurse to come and get you a drink of water wasn't happening because they're so short-staffed. But that doesn't have anything to do with the whole vaccination or anything like that. Where I'm at with it, I don't even really – I don't know, because I don't know what to believe anymore, really.
I know. We know how we feel for you, because we turn on the television and we think we should be – I better wear a mask, social distance, and better get a vaccine. But then when I listen to other people like Dr. Peter McCullough, there's a number of them here in New Zealand, some really good doctors, and they are saying, no, it's too dangerous. Why would you take an experimental biological agent when you've got a 99.98 for a healthy person chance of surviving it? And so I've got to keep reminding myself. And we've got to be careful what we listen to, don't we? But we should be allowed to hear both sides of the argument.
I know this much is I used to work at the hospital, and I got the flu shot, and I got so sick after I had that done. I said I would never do the flu shot again or anything like that. So I've always just said, no way, I will never. This, with the whole vaccine, I don't know what to believe. It's there's some days, really, honestly, I just want to go get on a podcast and go, can somebody just not talk about the COVID thing, because I want to stop grieving. You know what I mean? Still one day and not think about my husband that's gone and died from COVID. Supposedly.
Right. Well, that's what they said he died from, but it was heart failure. Had he been vaccinated before he went into hospital or not?
No, he hadn't. Is really kind of it surprises me, only because he had been in the hospital for 5 months before that. Starting in February, he was in there from February until June, July. It was July.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that they didn't, because right there towards the end, before he was discharged, is when I couldn't go and visit him any longer, when they had no visitors at all, surprised that they didn't insist that he got the vaccine.
Yeah. You shouldn't be giving any vaccine to someone that's really ill. They could just tip them over the edge. Right. And I know that they're forcing that now. They're saying to people, you need to be vaccinated, and then in hospital, sick. It doesn't seem right to me. Do you know if they gave him any remdesivir? Do you know about that?
Not that I'm aware of.
You don't know what they gave him?
There was a lot of times where he was a little out of it, and I would, when I would go up there, and he would not really make sense. And he told me several times, Jill, there's something to this whole COVID bullshit thing, and I got to talk to you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Why? I'm like, Bill, are you sure you're okay? You know, and I just kind of have passed it off. I was passing it off like, oh, he's just kind of not all there today, you know. But now I think about it, and I think I wished I would have said, you know, like, because he would be really secretive when all of a sudden he'd get this panicky look in his face and he'd go, Jill, I need to talk to you. And like, what? Because see, when he first got COVID, I couldn't go in there at all. And they put him in ICU and he had hardly any contact
with
any of the nurses, you know.
You hardly had any contact with the nurses?
Right. Like they would just barely go in just enough to give meds and then that's it. That was it.
Yeah. So, are you able to find out what he was given?
Yeah, I probably could.
Yeah, that would be worthwhile knowing because we're hearing that when they're giving them remdesivir, I think that's how you pronounce it, it shuts the kidneys down and floods the lungs, and they just drown.
Oh wow! You know what's crazy is my ex brother in law, he just died 3 days ago, and they called it COVID pneumonia.
Oh, see, they'd probably be treating him with remdesivir instead of he needs, you know, what they need. They need hydroxychloroquine and zinc and ivermectin. That's been working. That's keeping people out of hospital. But we're not hearing this in the news.
What is it
This
called?
Is why How I started doing this podcast. You know, I've got to do something because people don't know. I've had three Facebook pages shut down all at once, and I've got one back now.
Oh, so you're kidding.
They're just stopping us from speaking out. So it's not very good.
What is it called?
Oh, hydroxychloroquine and zinc. Apparently you need the two together. And people are actually getting well very quickly just using horse paste, which is ivermectin. Obviously, you've got to watch the dose. But if you go to Dr. Peter McCullough, I'll put a link up and after this is done. He can keep you out of hospital. This guy, he's probably one of the most published on COVID, you know, for the last 18 months. And he was an exemplary internist. I think he's it's like a senior doctor at this university hospital in Texas, and he's an epidemiologist and an exemplary record. And now they're slandering him because he's coming out and saying, you know, it's all wrong. They're actually killing us, killing people in hospital, and putting it down as a COVID death.
I've always said that it's population control.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
so sorry. You must. I mean, it wasn't long ago, was it? So right, this was before the vaccines, wasn't it? He actually did get COVID, and he obviously had a few other health problems before he got COVID.
Yeah, he did. He did have heart failure. He needed a new heart, but it happened so fast, you know, that he wasn't able to get a heart, and it was just like it was crazy. The night before Thanksgiving, the doctor came in and he's all, I had asked him, I said, okay, so is he through with COVID? Like, cause he got to the point where he was retaining so much water and he couldn't hardly keep he was only 58 and he was very athletic. He was, I mean, to see him go from you know, healthy, had a few heart issues to all of a sudden, I mean, I couldn't even, like, just one leg of his, he had retained so much water that, like, he couldn't even, he had to walk in a walker, you know.
I wonder if this is the remdesivir that they're giving them, because that shuts the kidneys down and then they just retain all this water.
And, you know, they kept saying something about his kidneys.
Yeah, well, the kidneys shut down.
How do you spell it?
REM. DESIVIR. Do some research on that, but of course you'll have to break through the Google censorship, so you may have to use another search engine to find it. But just keep digging and get there. Okay. And because they've been using it, but now they know that it's useless. But the thing is, it's FDA approved, and they have to use it. And those doctors that come out, like Simone Gold, frontline doctors, they were coming out and they were using hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, having great success, and people were getting well very quickly. They didn't lose very many. She was fired because the boss of the hospital, they're not doctors anymore, these bosses, they're just managers, said, you know, you've got to stop talking about this. But she said, hey, this is me and my patient. You know, since when do you get involved with what I do and say to my patient? This patient confidentiality, and I've got to do what I've been trained to do. Anyway, they fired her. So Simone Gold, that's one you want to look up, because, you know, Jill, you can really help others. And it'll be, you know, and I'm sure, what was your husband's name?
Bill.
Bill. I'm sure Bill would love you to do that.
Yeah. I've struggled that I can't believe it's coming up on a year, because I just can't believe that he's gone. You know, wow. So yeah. I've struggled and had a hard time. I have my own business. I'm a process server. I serve legal documents. I'm the one that everybody wants to kill the messenger.
Oh,
just kidding. No,
that's what you do.
But I serve legal documents. And he helped me a lot. And so not only am I struggling over that, I also am having to – he was the organizer. So I've been trying to get back in the work mode and be organized. And it's just a lot of things that my life has changed a lot, you know.
Yeah.
But it's life, I guess, right?
Yeah, life is cruel, isn't it? It can be very tough. Do you have a faith at all, Jill? Can I ask you?
I do.
Yeah. In the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we do too. John does too. But he's not here. I wish he was here. So that's one good thing that we have, that we have our faith to hold on to. I feel like we're getting very close to the end times, don't you? I feel like we're just about ready to go into that tribulation period that's foretold in Daniel and also in Revelations. Yourself, Jill. Oh, you're right.
Sometimes I've a couple of my friends, we've talked about it, and I've said, you know, what if Jesus already came? What if the rapture already happened and we're the ones left behind?
No, I don't think so, because I'm still here. No, the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. That's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, towards the end. And also Handel's Messiah. One of the pieces in there is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it talks about that our bodies will be changed. So if we're alive when the Lord returns, this is at the first advent. Now, that may be just before the tribulation. It might be during the tribulation. It might be to the end. I don't know. Everyone's got their own idea. But I do know that the Lord is going to return, but I know that the Bible says that those that are asleep in Jesus, that trust in Him, will rise from their graves, and we will be caught up together with them. So no, we haven't heard any stories of any graves opening and Christians walking around that were here years ago yet. So no, I think you're okay there. You just keep your faith and keep reading that New Testament. And keep listening to us. So we're just getting going on this. I've never done a live stream before, but I really appreciate you ringing and talking to me, because it's giving me a chance to just sort of get to grips with this panel and figure out what I'm doing. And Doss too. Thank you, Doss. He was talking to me before. So you're Boise, Idaho.
Yeah, looks like he's back. He's back. So I can step down and he can come back up here.
He's come back, yep. Right? And but I really want to get John. John's the guy that says Jesus preacher up there. I really want to get him. I want to talk to him for a minute. Well, thank you very much for talking to me. I'm going to play a video now, and then you're welcome to come back and talk any time of the day or night. Just don't hesitate.
Thank you.
Give us a call. Yeah. Okay. All the best, Jill.
All right. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye now. Well, that was Jill, and she's from Boise, Idaho, and it was great to talk to her. She lost her husband in November It's coming up a year. And what I'm hearing is that it sounds like the protocol that he was getting. I would love to find out what he was being given. But with his kidneys, they were talking about his kidneys. And we now know that if you're given remdesivir, your kidneys will shut down and it'll flood your vital organs. And that's what kills you. So the doctors are actually killing us. They're not dying. But yet they put it down as a COVID pneumonia. And because they think they're fighting a virus, and so they're giving them this stuff instead of giving them ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine and zinc, which has been, it's well known now. If you just do some more research, don't listen to the government, the propaganda arm, but if you do some more research, you find that that has been saving lives. And so Peter McCullough, I'd have to say he would be probably one of the best people to listen to. Let's see if we can... I'll see if I can get him up now, Dr. Peter McCullough. Let's see if we're allowed to, because we know that YouTube have been really bad. So here he is. Let's have a listen to him. He's speaking at the Senate.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Peter McCullough, and I'm an internist and cardiologist and professor of medicine at Texas A&M University School of Medicine. I'm on the Baylor Dallas campus. And I've been intimately involved in the response to COVID-19. Now, the opinions I'll express are those of my own and not necessarily those of my institution. I can tell you that in my field, I'm an academic doctor. I see patients, but I'm very involved in research. I'm an editor of two major journals. In my field, I'm the most published person in my field, which deals with the heart and the kidneys in the world in history. And when COVID-19 hit, I saw it as our medical Super Bowl. And there were going to be doctors like Dr. Urso coming out of wherever they worked to face the virus. And there were doctors in the hospital that just had to receive the virus. And then there were those who headed for the sidelines. And then there were those that were detractors against the pandemic. And so as I started to survey the literature, I had patients with heart and lung disease who needed urgent treatment. And I refused to let an illness, which lasted for 2 weeks at home before they got sick enough to be hospitalized, I refused to let a patient languish at home with no treatment and then be hospitalized when it was too late. It was obvious. That was obvious in April that was the case. So I used the best tools or drugs available at the time. And these are appropriately prescribed off-label. Remember, a label is an advertising label. A label isn't a scientific document. Sure, it's an appropriately prescribed off-label use of conventional medicine to treat an illness. And I, in May, I put together a team of doctors because the group that was facing the pandemic to the greatest degree was in Milan, Italy. So most of them were in the Coracle Italian Research Network. We summarized all we knew about the available drugs, and we published our findings in the August 8th issue of the American Journal of Medicine. And the title of that paper was The Pathophysiologic Basis and Rationale for Early Ambulatory Treatment. And it had a premise. There's two bad outcomes to COVID-19, hospitalization and death. The second premise, if we don't do something before the hospitalization, we can never stop it. We can never stop it. And I have to tell you, and I was the lead author in that paper, but we had dozens of authors from Italy, India, UCLA, Emory. We had the best institutions in the United States. I can tell you, the interesting thing was there was 50,000 papers in the peer-reviewed literature on COVID. Not a single one told a doctor how to treat it. Not a single one. When does that happen? I was absolutely stunned. And when this paper was published in American Journal of Medicine, it became a lightning rod. Oh my gosh, it became the most cited paper in basically all of medicine at that time.
That was Dr. Peter McCullough, Senate Committee on Health and Human Services. And there is a link in our description for the full length of that video. It's a YouTube video, so get it while it's still there. This is Liberty NZ. My name is Grant Edwards, and thank you for listening.